Of course, it's early, Lee.
J.D., when did you first hear the sound of the banjo?
Well, the sound that got my attention, the banjo, was probably 1951, when I saw and heard Flatten Scruggs on the stage live. That was really the first time I'd heard a banjo. I'd heard Grandpa Jones, of course, you know, of that style, yeah. And Oswald, and back then. But, you know, it didn't turn my head until I saw and heard Lester and Hurdle.
Right. And had you already been trying to play some music on an instrument by then?
I'd had a guitar since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. And I was very interested in guitar and music in general.
Yeah. So after hearing Lester and Earl for the first time, when did you get interested enough to actually get a banjo and start to learn?
I think I was 13. That was after Lester and Earl had moved to Lexington, Kentucky at the time. And they had a barn dance every Saturday night, and we would attend, and that really got me into it.
Wow, what a great situation to hear Lester and Earl. Was this every Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. It was every Saturday, at least for a year.
Yeah.
Plus all the other shows they did, close enough where I could go to.
Right, right.
It was great.
So, obviously, your earliest influence was Earl Scruggs.
Right.
Yeah. And before too long, you were playing professionally.
Well, I thought. But no, actually, I started playing with a country group in Lexington, who had a quite a radio show during the week. Every Saturday night, we would have an hour of live studio audience type thing.
Yeah.
And it was Esco Hankins and Crazy Tennessee. He was from Knoxville.
Yeah.
And that came to Lexington, which was a real good singer and had a good little company there. He gave me my first shot at playing out in front of people.
Yeah. Okay, great. If we have a sound crew, can we move the mic a little closer? I think that would probably help us with feedback, wouldn't it? Okay. Well, and I guess the first opportunity that most bluegrass folks had to hear got a chance to hear you playing was with Jimmy Martin, huh?
Right. And because I worked with Mac Wiseman in 1955, and he was in Richmond, Virginia, at the old Dominion Barn.
WRVA.
Heard that right. And that's the first time that I met Don Lee on Red Smiley. Of course, I'd heard Don and was interested in his playing also, and which I started getting into some of that. But I met those guys, and they were super, you know, just like Flatten Scruggs were. And I never forget they showed it to me and taught me a lot of things just by, you know, listening to them.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot if you just listen.
Right, right. And how did the circumstances come about that you ended up with Jimmy Martin?
What was your first, is there, I mean, everybody has good stories about Jimmy Martin, but do you remember the first,
is
there a story behind him offering you a job or your first meeting of him that would be?
It goes back to the radio show there on Saturday night I was talking about, with Esco Hankins. He heard me, he was driving through Lexington on his way to Middletown, Ohio. I think he just left Monroe at the time. And he happened to be listening to the program. And he heard me and the band there. And he called the radio station. And that's how that got started.
Yeah. I've talked with a fair number of banjo players who have played with Jimmy Martin down through the years, folks like Tom Adams and Chris Warner. And everybody talks about how the Jimmy Martin School of Music is a very interesting school to go to.
Yeah, to say the least.
You know, One of the interesting licks that you played on one of Jimmy's early recordings is that single string kind of lick on Hold What You Got.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How does that go?
That's